You know, tonight I'm going to talk about something called Your Place. And you can use this both, you know, on Wednesday night I like to talk to you about things that you can use for your natural and the supernatural. You know, one thing that happens in life that we have to find our place to live. And it's an apartment or a house or a condo or rent a room somewhere. No matter what kind of need you have to look for it. Sometimes you have to get an agent helping you. And this is true naturally and spiritually. Now look at Mark 10:35. Mark 10:35. I'm going to use this as the basis for what I'm going to talk about tonight. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may set one on your right hand and the other on your left hand in glory." But Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you ask for." And he said, "Are you able to drink the cup I drink, be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" Then he said, they said, "We're able." So Jesus said to them, you indeed will drink the cup that I drink, and with baptism I'm baptized with you will be baptized. But sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it's for those whom it's prepared. Now, James and John went, and they, you know, they wanted to set one on the right hand and one on the other. Now, if you look into James and John, you see John become the apostle of love. But if you look at their before Jesus, they were known as the sons of thunder. That tells me that they were pretty rambunctious guys. Now, Jesus said, "James, John, you don't know what you're asking." Now, I bring this incident to attention because I want to talk about your place tonight. People often decide, you know, that they put their attention on finding a place in the church on what they think they want to do. Or they see somebody doing something and they decide, "Hey, I'd like to do that." So they go that direction. But when you get into the place that you thought you wanted to be in, you find out that it's a lot more good looking or more appealing, I guess the word should be, from the outside than it is when you're actually involved with it. Now, I know nobody in here has ever done that, but I have. You know, anybody join me? Oh, I got some friends. Or you see somebody else doing something and say, "Man, I'd like to do that." But you see, we need to actually find out where God wants us to be in our place in the church. You know, even in the natural world, many people have trouble finding where they fit in, where they, what their place is. Many of them, and I'll talk about it in a minute, they're trying to fit into a place that they don't have the talents or the education for in the natural. You know, when you get in the place where you fit best, then you can be effective in the natural and at the church. So I want to encourage everybody to get in your place in the church And you'll find that there's a lot more joy and joy and satisfaction. Now, I'm talking about this to the church tonight because we have all kinds of positions that we're looking for people to fill. And you're going to sit there and look at me and be quiet. You that are visiting from other churches, this can be good for you too. Now, look at this in 1 Corinthians 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now, we are in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ecclesia. That's the international church, the universal church of all born again people. But then there is the local church that you are to be involved in. For by one Spirit we're all baptized in one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member but many. The foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now, get a hold of this. God has set members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But indeed, there are many members, yet one body. Here, Paul is comparing the human body, for the members in the body of Christ, the universal body, as well as the local church body. Hey, various parts of the human anatomy depends on another part. Hello? You being alive depends on the heart. But without arteries and veins, the heart would be of no value to you. Hello? Come on now, don't look at me like that. You know, you don't think about it, but your car, it's one car, but it's many parts. You can have the best engine in the world and have it all souped up and everything all, you know. But if you don't have a transmission and a rear end, you're not going anywhere. Hello? You know, if you think that some part of your body's not, take a little toe, for instance. You hit that little in the middle of the night, you run into something and hit your little toe. It doesn't seem that much right now. But if you break that toe, you'll find out how much it. Without it, you have trouble walking and all. I did that one night. Lynette told me she'd moved a chair, and I'm forever getting up in the middle of the night, and I get up sometimes two or three times a night and go get a drink of water, and sometimes I go look outside, check on the dog, see how he's doing. And she had told me she'd put that chair, and I hardly ever turn on a light because I can mogate through the house pretty good. I hit that chair and broke my little toe on my right foot. Well, you know, they can't cast it or set it. It just has to heal on its own. And it takes a few weeks. And it hurts to put a shoe on. It even hurts to put a sock on. Anybody ever done that? Oh, I got some friends in the house. See, when you find your place in the church, then you'll be able to be the church will be more successful and effective as you do your part in serving the church. When people do not know where their place is, they become frustrated. And when you become frustrated, you become a difficult person to be around. You know, some people live in an apartment or something that they don't like, and they're just grumpy all the time. You know, when I was in college, I had a roommate one time, not very long, because I got out. But he didn't like our dorm room. Well, ain't nothing he can do about it. I mean, he got assigned to it, and you got to have some place to sleep and study, so he better just shut up and do. But he complained so much that, you know, I moved out and got another roommate, went to the dean and got all that straightened up. And they put somebody else in there, and I noticed 3 weeks later, they're getting out. And after the third person got out, the dean, the boys dean of the dorm, boys dean, he, Mr. Stone, he came down and gave that guy a good talking. Some people call it a come to Jesus meeting. You know, after that, he became a different person. When he quit being frustrated over his living conditions. Now, there's three different approaches that people take in finding their place in the church. One of them is they dream about it. These people dream about being in a position, and they're praying that God will move sovereignly and get them there. They are not doing anything to qualify for that position, and they will never rise to a position in that state. Now, I don't care how much you dream about won't be on this stage and sing. If you can't sing, you're not ever going to be up here. That's not your place. And if you notice, when they're singing like different songs and I'm up here, my microphone is not on. I have to tell Esther to cut it on. And sometimes, you know, like if they're singing, you know, after I minister, you know, that team comes up and they start singing, I tell Esther like this, I make sure she cuts my mic off so I can sing too. Because if I'm singing, it's not going to be pretty. In fact, you know, on a piano, there's cracks between those notes. That's where I sing. No, not really. I did take some voice lessons, some music lessons, but I found out really quickly that's not my talent. Okay. Another thing that people do trying to find their place in the church is they're drifters. They drift from one church to another one. And they're looking for an opportunity. But they're never long enough in any one place even for anybody to even give them an opportunity. You know. And then there is those that they just dance around trying this and that. They move around constantly. They'll try being this, and then they try being something else, and then they try something else. And finally, they just give up in frustration and disappointment. Most of the time, it's because they're trying to fit into something that they're not really qualified for. You know, There's a lot of people that they're just not qualified to be on the platform. Now, don't get upset at me, but that's the truth. You know, if you're going to be up here, you got to have, you can't just, you know, stand up here and sing like a statue. Or, you know, stand here. Now you got to realize that frustration and disappointment come when you do not find your place. God will help you to find your place. Oh, you got to have a little bit of spirit, a little bit of something, you know. Come on. The truth is, God has a place for you in the church, but you got to be willing to submit to it and step into that place. And many people don't like to step into that place if it's not a place where they're going to be seen. Now, talking about the human body, all right, you see that screen, my picture's up there, you see this back here? That's not just happening. There's a whole team of people behind, right behind that screen is where they're all, there used to be a window there where they could look out here, but there's a whole group of people up there. Those words on that song just don't get up there. There's some, they're never seen. You don't even know who they are. Come on now. What I'm trying to get you to realize is that there are some important positions in that the church needs that you're not going to be seen. So many people, they don't want to do that unless it's they're going to be seen, and then they can brag about what they're doing. You know, 1 Corinthians 12:18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Now he's talking about human body, but he has set people in the church to help to spread the gospel in their area. You know, some people think that they know what they can do. I mean, they see themselves differently than what God sees them and what other people see them. You know, people saw David as a shepherd boy. I like something that Tony Cook has in his book, Your Place on God's Dream Team. He says, Jesus looked beyond the clumsiness and the impulsivity, I can't even talk, of Peter and saw an empowered preacher. Jesus saw more than a rambunctious turbulence of John. He saw an angel of an apostle of love. Jesus acknowledged the checkered past of the woman at the well, but he saw a transformed testifier. And Jesus looked beyond the rage of Saul of Tarsus and saw a church builder and an epistle writer. You may think a certain way, but God thinks another way. Now, God usually puts people in positions where they have some natural talents in the first place. You know, I went to the platform when I was 19 months old because we didn't, back then, they didn't have no nurseries or nothing, and my sister was born and Dad was up there preaching and Mom couldn't take care of my, there ain't no nursery, she couldn't take care of both of us, so Dad took me to the platform, set me on the chair right behind him. So when I went to first grade in school, because we didn't, down in Texas, when I started school, they didn't have kindergarten. They just had first grade. And so Miss Fowler, first grade teacher, she had everybody come up in front of the class, introduce herself and give their name and so forth and so on. And most of the kids, they were really shy, and she had to coach a lot of them. I went up there, and I just said, "My name's Kenneth Hagin," blah, 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 and, you know, and went and sat back down. And after class, she called me over, and she said, "Kenneth, I had to coach everybody else into," and said, "You just came right up there and talked, and you didn't have no problem with it." I said, "Well, I don't know. I'm not afraid of people. My dad's a preacher, and I've been on the platform since I was 19 months old, they tell me anyway. And I remember being up there." And I said, "So it doesn't bother me to be in front of people." See, it bothers somebody to be in front of people. We had a person several years ago that they were wanting to be a minister, and every time it comes, their lab tests come for them to preach in lab, they wouldn't do it. And they didn't pass the class, and they got really upset about it. And they were told, I told them, "You need to tell that person that they can be in the ministry of helps, or they can be in some other ministry, but they never gonna make it as a preacher." You see, what I'm talking about is we need to realize who we are. And, you know, there's a story, and we all know it, and it's, I'm taking longer than I thought I would. Okay, I got to hurry. 10 minutes. I got 10 minutes. And in Judges, about a man by the name of Gideon, we all know the story. And as the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." He was hiding from everybody. And he told him, "Listen, I am the least in my house, and my family is the least and the weakest in all of the tribe of Manasseh." But you know what? The angel of the Lord didn't pay attention to him. He said, "Surely I'll be with you. You shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Gideon saw himself one way. God saw him another way. You see, one reason God sees us different is because he looks at us from the inside, the potential inside of us, what we have inside of us. Remember when Samuel went down to anoint the king? And he down there at Jesse's house, and all the guys coming by, and Samuel's looking at this one, and that Lord said, "That's not him." And another one came by, big, good physique, tall. "That's not him." Finally, last one come by, and Samuel said, "You got any more boys?" They said, "Yeah, we got one kid out here, and look, take care of the sheep." He said, "We'll get him." And the Lord told Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or his physical stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord does not see a man as a man sees. For a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." See, Samuel, although he is the prophet, he went down there and he kept seeing all of these guys come and that looked the specimen that would be a great king. And then here comes this scrawny 17-year-old kid that's not fully developed yet. And the Lord said, "That's him." And that's when the Lord told him this right here. You see, many times leaders in the church will look at somebody and they'll be around them and get to know them. And then they see a potential in a certain area that the person doesn't even see in themselves. Over the years, I've taken different people out of there. I've taken people out of shipping and receiving and made ministers out of them. I've taken people and put them in other positions because they didn't see it, but I saw the potential in them. God sees us not based on our family lineage, our hometown, our economic status, our educational status. He doesn't look at that. Now, all of those things are good, especially in some areas. Education is very good. But he looks at us at the potential on the inside of us. The power of God will help us to be what we are designed to be in our place. Your place is different from your brother's place. Your place is different from anybody else. You know, my sister used to say to me, "Ken, you just different." I said, "What do you mean, sis?" She said, "Well, you're not like other people." She said, "You don't know, nothing bothers you. You don't what people think. You don't care what they think." I said, "Well, no, because they're not the one that has to answer. I do." Oh, you know. There's something in the. All of the Hagans, my cousins and even my uncles, my dad, even my dad, we have something on the inside of us. It's just, I don't know what it is. And it's that I cannot be defeated, I will not quite attitude. I guarantee you push any of us, any of those three, there's Blake sitting there, you push us and you put us in a corner, you better be willing to fight because we're coming out after you. That's what they said about me in the Army one time. I was stationed at Fort Bragg and AS 313th ASNA Head and Headquarters Company. And I would clean up my space on Saturday and then on Sunday I'd get up and get the bus and go into town and go to the church, and most of the time somebody would ask me to lunch because, I mean, Fayetteville, North Carolina, that's a military town, and there'd be several military guys there. Somebody, you and I usually go home with somebody, and then I'd come back, you know, and then everybody else had been out carousing on Saturday. On Sunday, they got all there, but they'd go over to my area, and they'd get around my bunk and play cards, and then I'd come in. Now I got to spend half of the night getting my area ready for inspection on Monday morning. Well, I come in one night and I was disgusted about something anyway, and I went over to my locker and took my suit coat off and my tie, and I said, I'm going to the day room to get a Coke. When I come back, y'all better be gone from here. Well, I come and have my area straightened up, and they come back, and they're all sitting there, you know. I walked up to the end of that bunk. There's two sitting here playing cards, one here, one here. And I walked up, and I sit there, and I took that coat, and I throwed it in these guys' faces over here, and I grabbed my bunk, and I throwed it on top of these two guys. And then, of course, Uncle Dub taught me and George, my cousin, George Irvin, and how to fight. And I backed up against the wall on the other side because he said, "Get where they can't get behind you. Don't ever let anybody get behind you." Well, I knew I had it. And so that Kowalski and two more guys, they were in their bunks trying to sleep. They jumped up and stood beside of me. And they said, "Hey, there's four of y'all, three of us. Come on, if you want any of us. Kowalski did. He was a corporal. He outranked everybody down there anyway. They backed off, and he told him, he said, look, y'all going to clean that place up over there? And they did. But you know what they would say about me after that? They say, the preacher will turn the other cheek, but after he does, you better watch out because he's coming after you. You know, sometimes you just have to dig your heels in and tell the devil, listen, he'll try to get you out of your place. Stay in your place. Once you find it, stay there. God has designed a place for you. In Ephesians 4:16, and I got about 1 minute, from whom the whole body joined together, knit together, by every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, cause growth to the body for the edifying of love. Let me read that from the NLT. Reads a little better. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. When everybody in the church finds a place and begins to work together, we become effective and we stay connected with each other. And I got a great book that I just released at camp meeting called Connect. It's out there if you want to get it. Find your place, get connected, stay in your place spiritually. And naturally, you can do the same things. When each person is in their place in the church, the mission and vision of the church is accomplished. I talked to the church tonight because we need people to step into position so that we can accomplish our mission and our vision. I'll close with this. In the sports, when you're on a sports team, everybody has a place. The big old guys, they don't try to get out there and be a receiver because they may want to do it, but that's not what they're qualified for. You know, we had one old boy, he wanted to be a quarterback. And finally, the coach put him back there. And he ran about three or four plays, and he called the coach, he said, no, I'm not cut out for this. I'm going to go back to being a wide receiver. Some guys wanted to be a running back, and the coach put him back there. But after they got tackled about five times, they decided they didn't want to be a running back. You see, you can want something, but is it where you belong? Find your place. God will help you find your place and commit to that, and you'll see that your life will be more free and you'll be more fulfilled. And you'll see as you find your place and stay in your place and everybody works together in their place, the kingdom of God will go forward and everybody can have the victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, that wasn't in these notes, okay? Everybody stand. I hope you got what I was trying to talk to you about tonight. You can use these same principles in your natural job, okay? If you happen to be in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, we want you to know Him. If you know what it is to serve but you have sort of taking a detour and got off course, you need to rededicate your life. Ladies are here, the men are here. You come down here, pray with them, and you won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for any reason, anything, if you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, want somebody to pray for you for healing, you want somebody to pray for you for any reason whatsoever, here's the prayer partners down here. They're ready to minister to you. Kindle the Flame starts tomorrow night. I have had a request from mine and Lynette's assistant, because she said that they need to have an usher's meeting or usher training or something. Anyway, they want y'all to get out of the auditorium. I'm just going to say, I'm going to quit being diplomatic and just say what it is. Soon as we dismiss, get out of here. Go out there and get some donuts or some Chick-fil-A. Hey, the ladies are going to be here Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. I'll be back here Sunday morning. We'll have regular church. Y'all come believing, come expecting. Shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to find my place and I'm going to stay there. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday. You ladies, we'll see here tomorrow night. If you need prayer for any reason, come to the front right now and they'll pray with you.